Welcome to Valley Thoughts, the podcast where we talk to friends and family about the concept of homeland, language, belonging, and unique experiences. Enjoy the conversation and remember, our thoughts are valid. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Valley Thoughts. It's season 3 and my name is still S. I'm your host. I'm still in Lagos. I'm still recording in the Lagos studio. I'm very excited, as usual. So a lot of what we're talking about in season 3 is people's unique experiences and the unique things that they think about that just make them who they are. So the person I'm having here today, I met again, because she was also listening to the podcast and she tweeted about it. So it's also a lot of people that have been interested in the podcast and they're talking about it. So, but then I also realized that she's doing something that's very unique and very interesting. She's learning and teaching Korean in Nigeria, which is something that not a lot of people do. So that's what I want to talk to her about today. Her name is Nika, and welcome, Nika.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited to be here.
Can you please introduce yourself?
So my name is Esther Neka Nana, and I'm a writer and digital marketer from Ebonyi State.
Okay. So you currently live in Lagos, right?
Yes, I moved to Lagos in November last year.
Okay. And let's just get right into it. Like, where did this whole... I know that in the whole world, like, people are... K-drama is a thing right now. People are into K-drama. Yes. So you do find a lot of people that are also learning Korean because they want to understand the artists that they're watching better.
Yes.
How did you get into K-drama?
Oh, so when I was in the university, when I got into the university newly, I met a friend. So one day I just went to her house and her roommate was watching a Korean drama. Then I joined her to start watching and it was so interesting. I just got hooked. Then I picked some DVDs and went to my own house and watched. So that was how I started. I would buy DVDs from the market and go to my house and watch. Sometimes I would copy it to my laptop and that is just how it started for me.
And then when did you decide that you were going to take this or the drama to another level?
So when we watch Korean dramas, then like some of my friends also got into it. So when we watch Korean dramas, so there was one day I and my friend, we were kind of like arguing about something. So I remember reading the subtitle of a drama, Heartstrings, like we were watching. So the girl first confessed to the guy. So she was like, "I like you," in Korean. And then she said it again. I said, "I like you." So
can you say it in Korean?
Yeah. So in Korean, it would be like, "Chuahe." So "chuahe" is "I like you." Then "chuahandago" is "I said I like you."
Okay.
So that day, my friend, my guy friend, his name is Somto. So he was like, we were saying "I like you" is "I like you," not the guy was like, "No, I like I Chuandago is "I don't like you." I said, "No, she said I said I like you."
Mm.
So we then decided to check it on Google. So I was right. So after checking it on Google, I found that I could check so many other phrases and words. So that is how I started checking some phrases. If I want to say I want to eat or I'm hungry or I want to talk to let me know, I will now check. So that is how I later found out I could actually learn Korean online.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And then you started learning.
I didn't really start learning. I just memorized some short phrases then. But after some time, after I graduated, I joined some Imino fans.
What is Imino? Like, I think there's some terms that you will have to explain to us.
So Imino is a very popular Korean actor. So he's very, very handsome and he acts all these rich guys, handsome guys, macho guys, you know, so everybody's kind of like in love with him. He's like the number one. In fact, he's the number one actor in South Korea, like to international fans.
Okay.
Even in Korea too.
Okay.
So I joined some of his fan clubs. Like, I made a fan account.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I found so many people and I was so excited. So there was one girl, she was living in Korea, but she's not Korean. I was very surprised. So I asked her one day, I DM'd her, I was like, "Okay, so how come you're in Korea?" She said she was from Chile.
in South America.
Yeah. So, and her country has some sort of working visa relationship. So she went to Korea on a working holiday visa. So she sent me a link that I should check it out. Some Korean Foreign Ministry of Foreign Affairs link. So I went to that link, and then surprisingly down, like in the website, I saw where they wrote down all the Korean alphabet. And then made some examples of words that you can form with, like, hello, 안녕하세요, you know. Hello is 안녕하세요.
Okay, I'm going to try and pronounce it. 안녕하세요.
Yes, 안녕하세요
okay.
is
안녕하세요.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes, so 고마워요 is thank you. So they formed these two words with those Korean alphabets. So I just took my jotter and jotted it down. Then I think that was how I started learning Korean. So I went to YouTube, I browsed a lot, and then I found some materials. And there's this website, talktomeinkorean.com. So that is how I started learning. I'll listen to their podcast, you know. Then downloaded some Learn Korean apps and Duolingo. There are just so many apps. So that was how I started learning.
That's been how long ago now?
That was in 2017. So it's been like 4 years.
4 years, yeah. That you really invested into the language.
Yes, I don't think I really, really invested. I would just say I was learning it on and off. But then last year, they held a Korean speaking competition in Nigeria. So it's like a worldwide Korean speaking competition where they do sub-regional speaking competitions. So each country where there is a Korean cultural center, they usually organize a national competition.
Mm.
So for the best in the country gets to represent their country on the worldwide stage.
Okay.
Yeah, so in Nigeria, they asked us to write an essay, you know, a video essay. Yeah, so I made a video essay. I then translated to Korean and then recorded myself. Of course, I memorized it a lot. Like, okay, so recorded myself and then submitted the video, and that was how I passed. But I did not get to pass in the world stage. You know, represent Nigeria, like, for the world competition, because it was supposed to be held in Korea. But because of the pandemic, we were not able to do that, so we did it online. And
so who won?
I don't know the country now. So after I didn't win, I didn't really...
You didn't get so much into it.
Yes, I didn't really look for information about it.
Would you say that you've always been interested in language or languages in general? Have you ever attempted to learn any other language? So you speak English, you speak Igbo?
Yes, I speak Iji, I speak Igbo, I speak English and Korean.
Okay. But would you say that before you learned Korean, were you interested in learning other foreign languages?
Yes, I was
languages?
Trying to learn French.
Okay.
Yes, I was trying to learn French. I'm not somebody that likes staying idle.
Mm.
You know, so even if I don't have anything to do, I have to do something like read books and stuff. So
yeah.
I was trying to learn French, but then I didn't find a lot of materials. So in learning languages, you have to immerse, like you have to hear the language a lot. You have to read materials a lot. So I didn't find a lot of French movies or French music, you know. So at that time, I don't think I had a very good phone, and I didn't really know the internet well.
Yeah.
So when from watching Korean dramas, because there was a lot of very cheap DVDs, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that is how I started learning Korean instead.
Yeah.
You know, I left French and then I started learning Korean.
Do you think, like, also that Korea is kind of... I think they are doing some work in really promoting the language at this point.
I think so,
Do you know what's happening there?
Yeah, so the Korean Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they set up these centers in different countries where they promote Korean culture to people. Even in China, Japan, Nigeria, they have different Korean cultural centers. So in these cultural centers, they teach Korean language. They organize competitions to promote Korean culture, like taekwondo competitions, Korean dancing competitions, Korean cooking. I don't think they organize cooking competitions though, but I do think they hold some sort of food testing events, you know. They invite people to come and drink tea, how Koreans drink it, eat how Koreans eat, you know. You know, show people their history. Like, in Abuja, there is a war exhibit place, like in their center. So it's accessible to the public if you want to come and view it. Yeah, so
interesting.
They are doing a lot of interesting things. For example, they do hold a lot of different competitions.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Isn't this BTS band from Korea?
Yeah, they are from
Korea. I think a lot of people are also. Yeah. Are you crazy about them?
No, funny enough, I'm not into K-pop.
Okay.
I'm only into K-dramas and their language, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's K. So, what's the K's that exist?
It's just. Okay. Oh, there are a lot of K things. There's K-pop, there is K-beauty.
Ah, that's true. I like Korean. I like Korean skincare.
Yeah.
That's one thing I would go to Korea for. Yes, for the skincare industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they are the chief plastic surgery.
Yeah.
So there is K-beauty, there is K-pop, there is K-dramas, there is Korean language. Yeah, so I think I digressed. Yeah. So it was after I won the competition then that there was a lot of people that were like, how did you learn Korean, you know? Mm. So I kind of like entered a community of Korean learners online. So especially the foreigners, they have access, like they share a lot of very useful learning materials. So because of them, I started taking this seriously.
Okay.
So I think now I can watch Korean dramas without the subtitles.
Nice.
Yeah, so even though I don't understand a lot of things some of the times, you know, so.
Yeah. So, and now you've gone to the stage where you've also started teaching.
Yeah.
How's that going? What does that mean?
You know, as someone that really, really struggled to start learning Korean by myself, I don't think a lot of people are that resilient, you know. And so if you try to learn Korean by yourself and it does not, you don't feel like you're getting it, it's very, very easy to give up.
Okay.
So when after I won the competition, there were so many students that wanted to learn Korean, but they didn't know how to go about it. So I was like, okay, you can give me your number, I will add you on WhatsApp, and I will teach you how to get past, you know, the difficult stage. Because it's just learning the alphabet and the writing rules and the pronunciation. That's just the only difficult thing. Okay. And the alphabets are not even that much. They are like 24 basic alphabets.
I think now that you know it, it's easy for you to say that. It's not even that much.
Yeah,
it's
know,
not even
right?
that difficult.
So, because they are students, and I feel like students need to, you know, do these extra things in order to open up their mind, you know, so that they will dream bigger than, you know, maybe Nigeria or something like that. So, I felt like I just wanted to help. So, I added a few people and I was teaching them. But the thing is that they would do, like, I would give them assignments to do and all that, but they wouldn't do it. They would come back 5 days later or 3 days later and be like, I'm so sorry, I was busy, I'm so sorry, my phone was off, I'm so sorry, you know. So, I was like, I beg. So, I just left it. So, after I started trying to learn digital marketing and all that, so one of my mentors was like, I can actually teach Korean not for free, like, and put a price to it. So I just decided to test run. Mm. And that was how I started teaching. Like, I advertised on Instagram at first and I got a few sign-ups. So some of the students gave up along the way. So I was just like, okay, maybe these people are not just serious. But then when I tweeted about it, there were so many serious people.
Yeah.
So that is how I started teaching, you know, those ones. And it's been going really well.
And how are you creating, like, aside from like learning the language, I also know that you try to just generally learn about the culture as well. What is it in your everyday life that you do differently now from like when you started learning getting into the world?
So I think the most interesting thing that I do these days is I don't think I can ever eat noodles with fork again in my life.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I came to Lagos, because I even went to Enugu to look for chopsticks before from Abakaliki. There's a shop right in Enugu, so I went there to look for chopsticks. I did not see.
They didn't have? Wow.
I swear. So. Even shop right in Keja here.
They don't have?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's
so I think I ordered from some, I can't remember the Instagram account.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I bought from them and then I watched a YouTube video on how to use chopsticks. Yeah. So I stay using chopsticks. It's really fun to use chopsticks to eat noodles, and I don't think I will ever be able to use a fork
again.
Yeah.
I remember after you tweeted about using chopsticks and I went to a restaurant, I thought I was so hungry. And I took, I mean, normally I would use the chopsticks, but most of the time I'll get tired in between and just drop them and use the fork. But that day, I really, like the bowl of noodles, like I used the chopsticks from the beginning to the end. I was like, Nick, I'll be so proud of
me. Oh my God. So I think even there's Claire, one girl that follows me. We follow each other too. She ordered the chopstick after I posted a video. So after she started using it, she sent me a video too. So it's really been interesting. There are so many people that, you know, there are so many mutuals on Twitter.
Yeah.
Even people that I don't follow that follow me because I keep talking about Korean culture.
Yeah.
And I think the beautiful thing that the Korean government is doing is actually telling people about these things, you know.
Mm.
So their history is a very interesting aspect. Like, I think my favorite genre of Korean drama is their historical Korean dramas, you know. So they...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, historical dramas, they try to tell these stories of, you know, what happened during their fight for independence from Japan, you know, the Japanese invasion. I don't even know these things about Nigeria, like what happened in Nigeria, but I know these things about Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this morning, I tweeted about the Korea.net, like it's part of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs program. So they asked what is the national flower of South Korea. And I was actually the first person to answer the question.
Oh, nice. Are you winning something?
No. Okay. It's just like, I just scrolled past the post. And so I tweeted about it. I was like, okay, do I even know the national flower of Nigeria?
Do we have a national flower?
Yes, we do.
What's our
national? It's called the yellow trumpet flower.
Where do they used to find that one?
According to the Nigerian embassy in Israel, like a post I saw, they said it's kind of grows in Nigeria. I think I've seen it before in my village. So, yes, it's really
fine. That's interesting.
It's like, I don't know how to...
What do you call it? Yellow trumpet?
Flower.
Yellow trumpet.
Yes, I think I posted it on Twitter.
Do you see it actually outside?
I've seen it before in my area, actually.
Maybe, let me answer something for the Nigerian government before arrest me here. What's the one of South Korea?
It's the... What is it called? Mungungwa.
So, okay, that's what they call it in Korean.
In Korea, yes. It's the hibiscus flower.
Ah,
yes.
That's interesting. Isn't that the one we used to make zobo?
Yeah, but yes.
It's a different type.
Yes, but it's a different type of hibiscus, yes.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Mm. Yeah, like this is how we learn every day, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, what's your plan now? So you are teaching Korean.
Yes.
You are... trying to bring in the everyday, implement Korean culture also into your own everyday life in Lagos, right?
Yes.
And you tweet also in Korean, which is, so in Korean, right? So they have their own, how do I call it? Like their own alphabet.
Yes.
Do they have that? Or do they have the, what do you call the normal? Normal is not the word.
Roman letters.
Yes. Do they have that too?
No, they don't have.
They don't have
letters
at all.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's called Hangul. Korean alphabet is called Hangul.
Okay. Because I remember when you were telling people there's Hangul and then there's something else usually.
Oh,
mentioned.
Okay. So people get confused when they write in Hangul. So in order to teach someone how Hangul is pronounced, you have to use Roman letters, right? If I want to say 안녕하세요, 안녕하세요, I already know how it's written in Korean. Yeah, so I have to use Roman letters to say it is A-N-N-Y-E-O-N, something like that.
Yeah,
so that in that aspect is called romanization.
Okay.
Like transliterating maybe Korean, Chinese or whatever, Arabic to Roman letters.
Yeah.
So, but it's not officially a Korean thing. It's just something that foreigners use to learn Korean. Foreigners who speak English.
Okay. So, Hangul means alphabet.
Gray script. Yeah. So Hangul, so Koreans have not always used Hangul to write. Yes. So before they used to use, actually I learned this from reading about Korean history.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they used to use Chinese characters to learn. I know Chinese is really difficult. I tried to learn it once. So before you be able to speak Chinese according to some articles, you have to learn some 1,000 characters, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so they used to use just Chinese to write. So there was the king they had, King Sejong the Great. So he formulated this Hangul.
Okay.
Yeah, so that because before poor people couldn't access, you know, Chinese education.
Ah, yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so because of the poor people and because he wanted something that would be uniquely Korean.
Yeah.
So that is how he created this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so how can people learn Korean with you? What's your plan also for the future? Are you going to like really bank on this? Like, is this what you want to do full time?
No.
Are you going to create like a Korean center in Lagos? What's the plan?
I don't have that sort of plan. I'm actually very, very interested in studying, you know, in graduate school. So
okay.
I think I'm learning Korean so that I would use it for graduate school studies because I want to study food, nutrition, and biochemistry.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's so, what you did your bachelor's in?
Yes. Okay. I did my bachelor's in biochemistry. So okay. I want to do my master's in nutrition and biochemistry. And Korea is really good. They do some of this fusion, like Asian, African, Italian, French food fusion.
Oh, that's
courses.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they call it convergence course.
Okay.
Yes, Arts and Science Convergence. So they have this sort of programs. So I'm thinking of, you know, applying for scholarships and, you know, going to Korea. I don't think I want to stay in Nigeria to be teaching Korean. It's just for, I feel like it's just to help other people, you know, who want to learn the language.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's a temporary thing for me.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Also, so the other day we had lunch and then we realized that we've actually met each other before. So
yes.
Because in my head before that, like, oh, Nika was on, she tweeted about the way I actually saw you were. You were tweeting about, like, when you tweeted about the podcast.
Yes.
So I was like, this is interesting. I saw what you do. And then I was like, this is interesting. Someone I would like to have on the podcast. And then when we had lunch the other day,
yes.
First, now I realized that we actually came to a program that I hosted at
yes.
work. So, which was like, what, 2018, I
yes,
think?
Yes, when I was serving.
Yeah. So it's very interesting how these things usually work. Like, you now find out that you've actually met the person before.
And I was really grateful because this is what comes from being interested in other people's
yeah,
cultures, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because that was also like was a food.
A cultural thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I also know that you like to do yoga.
Yes.
So like I like how you're just interested in learning about different cultures. How did you get to start doing yoga?
Okay, there is this fine, interesting girl on Twitter. Her name is Oluwakpelumi.
Okay, yeah, I think I even follow, I don't follow her, but I saw her stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, people are always like, I think the people on Twitter are either like loving what she does or they're absolutely like, what is this?
Some people, you know, people, Nigerians are weird.
Yeah, very weird. Remember.
Yeah, so when, as you said the other day, people criticize what they don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think there is anything wrong. Like, you know, there are different kinds of yoga. There are so many centers
yeah.
that people do yoga naked, yeah. So when they feel like Pelumi does yoga just so that she will attract people to
okay.
ask her out or, you know, something like, but it's not true. She actually does a lot to help people who want to get into the yoga space. Like
yeah.
And yoga is a very, very mentally stimulating
yeah.
exercise. So when I stay yoga, I felt better mentally, actually. And I think that is also what inspired Pelumi's yoga journey as well.
Mm.
So she holds these yoga challenges where, you know, she says 30 days yoga with Pelumi. And it's totally free. Like, she posts, she talks about yoga, she explains the poses, sends pictures, and anyone on Twitter can actually join.
Mm.
You know, so that was how I started. And you know, I read about it, and then I just continued.
Yeah. Yeah. I also feel like you don't necessarily have to have left the country to be interested in other stuff.
Yes.
Considering that Nigerians generally, I don't even think like they're not interested in other stuff. But I think like once they found what they're interested in, it's like they just stick to it. And oh, we have to do it over time like this. This reminds me of, so I live in Delhi, right?
Yes.
And so I generally like to exercise. So there's a gym I go to, but I realized this year also that I wanted to do yoga because I can't live in India and not do yoga.
Right.
What will I say?
Right.
You know?
Yoga is, India is the yoga country.
So I started doing yoga in April. Mm-hmm. And although it's online because of the pandemic, yes. I know how much it's helped me, even with my training, with my gym training. Like, it's sort of given me a balance.
Yes, it
for sure. Yeah.
Hand,
but I wanted to say that there's this, so in Delhi, there's this institute that a friend of mine, she works there, she's Nigerian.
Yes.
So there are other Nigerians also that live there. So when this particular friend, this person came, I met her, we just met randomly in church, actually. Yes. But then she said, like, when she arrived in India, like, there was this set of Nigerians that were in the institute. Of course, when you first come to a place and you see people that look like you, that speak the same language, you guys are from the same place, you guys kind of, that's the first people you actually get closer to then, you know, open up to the whole world. It's some kind of safe space that you're trying to build for yourself.
Yeah.
But then she got there and they're like, so in that way they live, so they have a canteen where they can eat morning, afternoon, night. They can eat, so which is nice. So they offer like Indian dishes all through. And the girl is like, one of the girls says, like, the only thing we eat there is rice. We don't go to this place to eat. Huh? And we don't go to, like, how can you live in a place like that? It's such a huge country with rich culture and you're not able to explore. So my friend was not telling me that one day her sister called and said, I went to a restaurant in Lagos. I ate butter chicken. Have you eaten butter chicken? She's in India. She can't say that she has eaten butter chicken.
Butter chicken.
Because they have said that we don't eat butter chicken. Like, it just feels very weird.
Yes.
So people like to, it's not like, I feel like, sometimes you put yourself in your own bubble and you need to just bust it and get out of it and see beyond that.
Exactly.
So this girl now, the one that was always very adamant on this, she's left now. She said that she has gone to India, but...
Right. But she has not experienced India.
Exactly. And that's really sad. So even... And I really like the fact that even if, like, even as you are in Nigeria, you know, you are able to... And you are able to just explore within your own mind. You are opening up your mind to things. So even when you travel abroad, a lot of things are not going to be strange to you. You won't be like, which one is this one that they are doing? Because you've just opened your mind as well. So what's the community of people that are into everything K in Nigeria? What's happening? Apart from like the center that's there, but Nigerians actually being interested in everything K.
Okay, so...
Or everything Korea.
So there are so many, they are different, you know, as they are Wizkid fans, Davido fans, that is just how they are. Imino fans, there is BTS fans, there is Twice fans. So there are just so many different fandoms that have their own fan accounts and, you know. But when they come together to talk about K-dramas, like, everyone watches K-dramas. So when they come together to talk about Korean dramas, it's like we are sisters.
Okay.
Yeah, so we gush over the same things, we criticize the same things or different things, you know. But it's mostly online. I've never really met people, like, I've not gone to meet people that are interested in Korean in person. But some of them that I introduced Korean dramas to last year during the pandemic, like Shari Fat.
You know, Aspiring Fit Fam.
Yes. So we became friends from, you know, talking about K-dramas, and we actually created a group where we talk about, you know, our favorite actors or favorite scenes from K-dramas, you know. So these are the kind of people that I've met, that I've become close to, that I think we are planning to eat lunch sometime.
I was just going to say that you need to organize like a hangout.
Yeah, we are going to do that. So.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's just so nice that you can build your own community.
Yeah.
So I want you to, before we round it up, teach us, tell us which K-drama we must watch. What's the most... I've never watched K-drama in my life.
Oh my God, are you serious?
I've never watched K-drama. I feel like, I think it's usually about romance.
It's not just, there are so many genres. It's the same as Hollywood.
Okay. So you need to tell us, like, maybe give us, like, your top 3 K-drama movies that we should all go and watch.
Okay. You know, I actually have a bias. I'm biased towards Imino.
Okay.
Actually. Yeah. So I'm going to, to be honest, the best Korean drama from that I feel like people need to watch in romance, it's Her Private Life.
Okay, Her Private Life.
Yes.
Most of them, like...
Most of them are romance, actually.
Okay.
So even thrillers, they kind of add some element of romance to them, yes. So there is Her Private Life. Then there is The King Eternal Monarch, which is a drama by Lee Min Ho. Then there is Crash Landing on You.
Okay, are these all available on YouTube? Netflix. Netflix.
Yes, yeah. They are on Netflix. All of them are on Netflix.
What did you call it? Her Private Life?
Yes, The King, Eternal Monarch. And Crash Landing on You.
Okay, and Crash Landing on You. Okay. Yeah. So those are the three ones. Are they like super long, like the Bollywood movies? Or is it like they're 1.5 hours?
But most of them are 16 episodes.
Ah, okay. They're like series. Okay.
Yes. And it's like about 1 hour per episode.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to try. I'll try and sit down and watch
so
one.
So what's your favorite genre of, you know, anything?
Okay, so yeah, I like Nigerian movies, funny enough, but I don't like the stuff that they're producing now is often like 30, not married,
yeah,
you know, and pressure. I don't like all of that. So I like older stuff.
Okay.
But I think like me, I'm not like, I like some of like Shonda Rhimes stuff.
Oh,
that's like
okay.
So Hollywood.
Yes.
So I like Scandal. I really enjoyed watching Scandal. There's this series, Handmaid's Tale. A lot of people call it trauma porn. Oh. I like. Do you know Handmaid's Tale?
I don't. Funny enough, I don't watch Hollywood.
Okay.
Because okay.
Yeah, and then there's this Is Us, which is also not.
I see tweets about those.
Yeah. So I like stuff like that.
Oh.
A lot of people say that's like trauma porn because it's like it's very hard to digest stuff, and it's like it doesn't get better. So yeah, and then like I watched Anila, for example, a few days ago.
Okay.
Have you heard about it?
Yes,
the Nigerian movie.
I've not seen it,
yes. Yeah, so I enjoyed that, you know. But I'm mostly like I think in most things generally like I go with the flow, kind of, and with music.
Me too.
You too.
Yes.
But it looks like you are totally up for exploring.
Yes, like when I came to Lagos, I used to live with my aunt, and she loved to watch Yoruba. Like Yoruba movies, so I got into that too, and I felt like they had so many funny and interesting you know movies, so
yeah. Especially like the older stuff, I feel like you learn, even like for me it also like I learned a lot about the culture from like the older movies. And you see like the also the setting and the roles that people were playing. So you could also see like my surname is Balogun.
Yeah.
So you would see like
okay,
it's
there
a title.
Is a Balogun.
Exactly.
Okay,
you know,
I guess.
Like when you go, when they are showing like maybe the palace or something, and
it's
a role that this person plays in that community.
Okay.
You know, so everyone has like their own role that they're contributing to the community. So I really like stuff like that. And I think there are some producers that still do that. But of course, I understand. I feel like with Netflix now, for example, Netflix being in Nigeria, I guess it has to do a lot of the way Nigeria is currently set up.
Consume, you know.
Exactly. So who is their target audience? I get the target audience is female, 30s, upper middle class, and maybe their struggles is really 30, you know.
What's being represented.
Exactly,
in the
exactly. Although I think it's important that media houses also use their platform to tell other stories. Yeah?
Yes.
I think it's very important.
Like I agree with you. Like, for example, I think I prefer those classical stuff as well. Because when it comes to novels, I prefer to read classical novels.
Yeah.
You know. But these days, African writers are doing amazing. So
Yeah.
So I'm getting into the contemporary African writing.
Yeah. Well. What are you currently reading?
TJ Benson's Madhouse.
Ah, okay. Very nice. Very nice. Yes. I haven't read that. I should get the book.
I've just started. I've not even gone past the pages, but it's really interesting.
Very nice. I should get it. Yeah. And then I think I asked you one more question earlier. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, so you should teach us a little bit of the alphabet. What, or like a few words, like let's go out and also be able to say something in Korean.
Okay, so usually people just start with 안녕하세요. As I've said, it's hello.
Wait, please, say it again.
안녕하세요.
안녕하세요.
안녕.
안녕.
안녕하세요. Yes.
안녕하세요. I feel like me, I'll put my Yoruba accent into it.
Funny enough, I think accents are what makes people unique. So.
True.
Yeah, so.
So, 안녕하세요.
Yes, 안녕하세요 is hello.
Okay.
So, my name is something.
Yeah.
제 이름은 에스타입니다.
Say it again.
제 이름은. 제 is Mai.
Uh-huh.
Irum is name, like Irumun.
Okay. Name. And then you say your name.
Yes. Esther. Then you say Imida. Imida is like
okay. And say Irumun Safarat Seda.
Safarat Imida.
Imida. Yes. Okay. Okay. I have to write this thing down. Do you know what? So yeah. I realized that. So, I mean, now I speak English, I speak Yoruba, I speak German.
Yes.
If I can speak Italian according to my CV. And then I started learning Hindi in beginning of 2020.
Okay.
Because I was like, okay, that's another thing. You live in India, you yes, should also learn the language. Yeah. So that didn't go quite well because work and everything. And okay. I'm usually able to get away with my English. But something I've learned since I started learning languages or yeah. also started traveling is, so it doesn't sound like something that's not familiar to my ear anymore. So yes. when someone is speaking a language, I can kind of tell
yes.
where, maybe not the particular country, but the region, okay. I have an idea of where it's coming from.
Yes.
And I'm able to, so if you're talking to me, even if you don't use familiar words, right, if you don't throw an English word into it,
yes.
I'm able to kind of get yes. from your gesture as well what you're saying.
Okay.
It doesn't sound completely like, oh, I can't make sense out of this, you know? And I think that's also the beauty with when you learn, when you're just open and you've explored for a bit.
Exactly. I can't say it happens to me exactly like you have described, but I find that I don't find foreign languages that foreign anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, the first time, one of my friends posted a clip from one cartoon that went, "You make me unpoko loco." I think you know that. What is the name of that cartoon? It's popular. I think people will know the cartoon. So when she posted the video, she was trying to figure out the language they were speaking. When she asked me, I thought that it sounded like, you know, Spanish.
Yeah.
And I went and Googled it and it was actually Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So it's things like that.
Yeah. It's like the beauty of language. I think that's what I'll call this episode. The beauty of language.
Foreign language.
Yeah, or foreign languages. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You also meet a lot of people.
Yes, that's it.
Of course. That is my favorite aspect of learning.
Yeah.
Korean, I think there are so many people I've met. They are Indians, they are Chinese, they are Germans, they are Chileans. There are Americans. There are so many people that I've met that I don't think I would have ever dreamt of meeting.
Yeah.
You know, for the fact that I'm in Nigeria, yeah.
Mm.
So, it's really beautiful.
And I'm so glad we have the internet. My goodness. When we were watching the movie the other day, we're like, imagine, like, what were they doing? If you're looking for someone, do you know you go to their house?
If they're not there, you have to come back tomorrow. If they're not there, you have to come back. What a life tomorrow.
Like, even if you send a letter, do you know how long it takes before it arrives?
It's not people that could send letters then. Like, I grew up in the village, So, and I can tell you that, no, it's bad. It's very, very bad. Seriously. So,
I'm glad that, that we're in this age and time. And then imagine, like, what, like, our kids will say. Or our kids, you know,
they will not be able to imagine it.
It's only WhatsApp they had that they were jumping up and down. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so now you've taught us hello. My name is. And thank you. How are you? And then at the end, we'll learn goodbye.
Okay. Thank you is... Okay, so Koreans have this... different formalities.
Okay.
So there is the informal, like different politeness. Levels.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is the informal level, there is the semi-formal, and then there is formal.
At least they give us in between.
I know.
That's
yeah,
nice.
That in between is what people mostly use.
Yeah.
So the formal is when you're talking to governors,
yeah.
you're talking to, you know, big bosses like Dangote's. You know.
Like Dangote's.
Yeah, so the informal is when you're talking to your colleagues at work or your boss, like, and then the semi-formal is when you're talking to your colleagues at work or your boss, then the formal is when, you know, you're talking to your friends, your age mates, your siblings, you know. So the informal is kumawo, when you want to say thank you in Korean. So it's just thanks, kumawo.
Yeah. Okay.
Then if you now add yo, kumawo yo is semi-formal. Okay. It's still thank you. So all the Korean words, all the Korean verbs, because it's only verbs mostly end Korean words.
Okay.
Not like the English.
Yeah.
So all the Korean verbs that whenever it ends with yo, you know the person is trying to be, you know, semi-formal.
Formal. In fact,
formal.
Okay.
Yeah. So then if it's komapsumida, that is the formal.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So kumawo, kumawoyo, komapsumida.
Kumawo, kumawoyo, kumapsida.
Kumapsumida.
Apsumida.
Kumapsumida, yes.
Don't let me come around.
You know, it's
the
because
language.
We are speaking English that the accent is sounding somehow. But if you do speak Korean, like, you know, it goes more smoothly.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. And then what's, how are you?
Otokejineyo.
Otokejineyo. Why does that sound like Igbo?
Funny thing. Thank you very much for reminding me this. Do you know, in Igbo, you say osiso, or give me this thing fast, like do quick, also, come quickly, also, run, like fast. In Korea, there's an exact word that means the exact the same thing.
Oh, that's also, interesting.
Like quickly.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so that's the most interesting thing ever.
Yeah, like, you find out there's so many similarities.
Yes.
Yeah. And then what's goodbye?
Goodbye is still annyeong. Okay, so goodbye in informal Korean is annyeong.
Like, okay, annyeong.
Annyeong. Annyeong is also hi.
Okay.
Yeah. So that annyeong haseyo is like the same, the formal of hi.
Okay.
Yeah. So annyeong, if you cut it short, like it's hi. Then if you still, you know French, there is salute and they salute.
Yeah,
goodbye.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with Korean.
Salut.
So, sorry. It's not salute. Salute. So annyeong and annyeong both mean hi and bye.
Okay.
But then if you want to say goodbye in the formal way, to the person that is staying, you say annyeonghi keseyo. Keseyo is stay.
Okay.
So annyeonghi keseyo is stay well. Then to the person that is going, you will tell annyeonghi kaseyo, go well. Kaseyo is go well.
Okay.
You know, go. Then keseyo is stay. So if I'm leaving, I will say to you annyeonghi keseyo. Then you will tell me annyeonghi kaseyo.
Hey God, I'm just praying that I don't get too invested in this. I have a job, bro. For I've been watching K-drama the whole day. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm saying annyeong. I'm not going to try attempt the remaining. Let's just leave it like that.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Annyeong.
It's been so fun talking to you. Plug your handle. Where can people find you if they want to learn Korean, if they just want to follow you?
Okay, so I'm on Twitter as at kculture with Nne.
Okay.
And Instagram, kculture with Nneka.
Okay.
Then YouTube, kculture with Nneka.
All right. So, you know, you guys know where to find her if you want to learn more about everything Korea. And thank you so much, Nneka, for coming. I really, really appreciate it. It's been very fun learning about this. I've also learned something new for sure.
Thank you for having me. Thank you
so much. All right. So, I'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Valid Thoughts. You can find us on Instagram at valedthoughts_creative, on Twitter at valedthoughtscs. Share, like, and send to your friends or even your parents so we can all learn a thing or two. Until next time, remember, our thoughts are valid.